Yes, yes, yes. There is a word from the Lord today. If you could stand in reverence to the word of God, we're going to come from Luke, the 18th chapter. I won't be before you too long today. We'll get straight into it. Luke, the 18th chapter, verses 35-43. And I'll be reading this morning from the NIV version. If you're there, just say amen. You say, hold up now.
All right.
So Luke, starting at the 18th chapter, verses 35-43. And it reads, as Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. Verse 36, when he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. Verse 37, they told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. 38, he called out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. 39, those led the way, rebuked him, and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more. Just say he shouted. Shouted all the more. Son of David, have mercy on me. Verse 40. Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want to see, he replied. Verse 42, Jesus said to him, receive your sight, your faith has healed you. Last and final verse 43, immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. Thank you, Father God, for speaking to us today. Thank you for this house of Judah, Father God. Praise, a house of praise. Lord, this morning as we receive your word, Lord, let us receive it with thanksgiving in our heart and praise on our lip, knowing that it's the word that's going to help us persevere through this world. Father God, you said streams of living water will flow from our belly, Father God. Thank you for your word that will quench our thirst, Father God, to where we'll never have to thirst again, Lord Jesus. We praise you. Amen. You may be seated. With our theme for the month, do you have your graphic? If you could put it up there. With the theme of the month, House of Judah always has amazing themes. I always say this, I don't know who comes up with it, but doing a really good job. But with our theme of the month coming from Revelations, with our testimony, this morning I want to come with the topic of the power of your testimony. Can we say that with me? The power of your testimony. Our memory, which God has given us, especially our long-term memory, right? Our memory can be our greatest success, our greatest downfall. Just say memory. Our memory. Sometimes we can't move forward because of what we're holding on to, the memories, the pain. Now, we can choose to hold on to what so things are true, just, holy, righteous, because in the word of God, God has commanded us to think on these things. Amen. So this morning, as we talk about the power of your testimony, I'm just going to come for 2 points and I'll get out your way. Point number one is remember your testimony. Just say that, remember your testimony. Now, we all know we've heard of a testimony, amen? And a testimony is your story about what Jesus has done for you. As we're talking this month about testimony, my lovely sister last week, she did an awesome job. testimony. Your testimony is your story about what Jesus has done for you. Is there anybody with a testimony? So your testimony is just your before you knew Jesus in a specific situation, before Jesus intervened in this situation. Your testimony is broken up of a before, a how, and a now. Before Jesus, how Christ intervened in my life, in my situation, and now how it is since he's intervened. Amen. In the Latin origin, a testimony, the word testimony, it means testis. And testis equals, and it means a witness. Just say a witness. So the root word of testimony is testis, which means a witness. You tell them educated. I'm going to say it again because I didn't hear as many as I. Testis means what? A witness. The root word of testimony is testis, and it means a witness. A witness is someone who tells and proclaims, right? And the root word of testimony is not test, it's testus, which means a witness. Testa grows to testimonium through history. And now that's how we get the word testimony. But the word that we see in test and have heard for years and years, in testimony and heard for years and years, is the word, four-letter word of test. You probably heard it before, but it's so true. You can't have a testimony unless you go through what? A test. Sounds like y'all been in church for some years. You can't have a testimony unless you go through a test. But let me add on to it. The only reason why, or the only way to pass the test, is to learn the decrees of God. Can't have a testimony unless I go through a test. And the only way to pass the test is to learn the decrees of God. But God doesn't tempt man, right? Oftentimes when we think of a test, we think of temptation. Let's separate it. The test is not a temptation, it's a refinement. When God is putting us and allowing us to go through tests, it's to refine us, hallelujah. You have been tested, why? To become a witness. The only reason why you've been tested is to learn the degrees of God so that you can become a witness. Because God is not tempting you in his test, he's refining you. Amen? Just as gold is refined in the fire. I saw Brother Alpheus a couple weeks ago. He had his lighter and he had the bag. He was testing that bag, right? I'm reminded in Psalms 119, verse 71, and it says, "It was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn the decrees of God." Man, that hurt. It was good for me to go through a test so that I might learn the decrees of God. I'm reminded of Romans, the 5th chapter, verses 3 through 5. Write it down, read it later. Romans, the 5th chapter, verses 3 through 5. And in the scripture it says, For we rejoice in our suffering, because suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. We rejoice in our suffering. I was glad that I was afflicted so I could learn the decrees of God. I can rejoice in this suffering because I know it's going to produce perseverance. It's producing character. It's producing hope. If I wasn't afflicted, I would not have learned how to smile in the midst of calamity. If I wasn't afflicted, I would not have learned how to fight. Now, I knew how to fight from the hood, but now I know how to fight the good fight of faith. If I wasn't afflicted, I wouldn't have known how to grow roots in God. If I wasn't afflicted, I would have not learned how to pray and get on my knees and learn that this is the greatest fight that I can do, to lift my hands to worship to God and know this is the greatest fight, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, things that I can't even see. Have I not been afflicted, I wouldn't have known how to grow the fruits of the Spirit which's inside of me. If I hadn't been afflicted, I wouldn't have known how to stand just like the tree by the rivers of the water. If I wasn't afflicted, I wouldn't have truly learned how to raise my hands, because not until I was healed did I truly learn how to raise my hand and worship God, because before I was too ashamed, before I was too cool, but because I went through and I was afflicted, baby, I can't help but to wave my hands. I can't help but to praise God, because I know it wasn't my friends, it wasn't family, it wasn't anybody else that brought me through. If I wasn't afflicted, I wouldn't have learned how to trust in God. The key scripture for this month, chapter 12, verse 11. It says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death." Remember, my first point is, just say it with me, remember your testimony. In this key scripture that you got, by the blood of the Lamb. That's Jesus died on the cross, right? That's the part that Jesus did. He died on the cross. He shed his blood. Aren't we so grateful for that? Because I couldn't have did it. I'll tell you that right now. I could not have done it. But it's another part to this. It wasn't just the blood. Don't get mad at me. This is English. It wasn't just the blood that brought them victory. It wasn't just the blood. Because I think it says, and the blood of the Lamb, and the blood does its part, but it's a part that we have to do. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb. Just say, and. And the word of their testimony. Can you just say, remember? But here's the thing. You remember what I said. Our memory can be our greatest asset, or our memory can be our greatest downfall. This morning, House of Judah, what are you choosing to remember? Are you going to remember the testimony? Are you going to remember the pain? Don't let others' testimony make you mad. Don't let the blessings of other people drive you crazy. Don't let the blessings of others make you think that God has forgotten about you. I'm preaching to somebody in here this morning. Because I'm here to remind you that God has not forgotten about you. But Jesus has died and the blood of the Lamb is there, and God just needs you to remember. Remember what? What he's already done for you. He sees that you're expecting and you're wanting something else, and guess what? He's telling you, just remember what I've done for you already. And as you remember what I've done for you already, you'll be able to overcome your flesh. You'll be able to overcome Satan and the wiles of the enemies and the whispers of lies and the fiery darts that he has for you. But God is saying, if you can remember what I've done for you, just say remember this morning. Just say remember. Because I'm reminded in Matthew chapter 8, Jesus was asleep on a boat, right? Storm came, and they said, man, they tried all they could try. They said, hey, man, what Jesus said? Be still in the middle, on the bottom of the boat, right? And they woke him up, and Jesus said, peace be still. That happened in Matthew chapter 8. But in Matthew chapter 14, something else happened. Peter and the disciples were in a boat. And before this, Jesus told them to go to the other side, amen? So in the middle of the night, they're on this boat, it's pitch dark, and they start to see something like a ghost walking towards them. And it was Jesus. I'm not taking you back to Sunday school because I know you know this story. But I'm just showing you something that God showed me. Chapter 8, Peter saw Jesus calm the storm. So in Matthew chapter 14, when the storm was going and they were back in the boat and the disciples were back in there, everyone was afraid. And they said, what is that, a ghost? And Jesus said, it's me. And Peter, remembering what Jesus had already done, Jesus said to Peter, well, Peter said, if that's you, Jesus bid me to come. And Jesus said, what? Come. Peter, remembering that Jesus controls nature, that Jesus controls all. Peter, because he remembered, he had the faith to step out. Good gracious. He had the faith to overcome what naturally was impossible because he remembered the testimony. He remembered what Jesus had already done. What am I saying to you this morning? I'm saying choose to remember what God has already done for you, because I'm reminded of David. David said, the lion and the paws of the bear, I was rescued by all of those. I remember what Jesus did for me when that lion came to Goliath. He said, this circumcised Philistine can't do nothing towards me, because I remember that my God has already freed me. Just say remember this morning. Clap it up if you're enjoying this so far. A memory. It can be our greatest asset or our worst enemy. Point number two, and I'm getting out your way. Point number two is, this is not for you. This is not just for you. This testimony. In our key scripture today, we see in Luke, we can pull that back up. Luke, the 18th chapter, starting back at verse 35. And it says, as Jesus was walking in Jericho, right? Who is walking? Jesus. Because I know y'all like, what does God do? What you talking about, man? Let's get into it. As Jesus was walking in Jericho, a blind man was sitting
begging. Verse 36. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. Keep going. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Next verse. He called out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Let's pause right there. Jesus is walking Jericho, and this man has an ailment. And what's his ailment? He's blind. I need everybody to be on the same page. What's wrong with him? He can't see, right? And in the Bible, in your Bible, it may say this, they call him a begging man, which insinuates day after day he's sitting begging, right? Y'all know y'all go to the mall, y'all see that person with the sign. So day after day, he's in a situation where he's dependent upon others, amen? And we see here that as the crowd was going by, following Jesus, he can't see what's going on, but he can hear. Good gracious. He can't see it, but he can hear it. And as he hears, something different about this day. And he says, what's going on, y'all? They say, Jesus is here. And this blind man, he remembered the testimonies of others. Though he can't see, he remembered hearing stories of the man, the son of David. I can just see him sitting around hearing stories of Jesus. Spit on the ground, got turned. He stole it on the man's eyes and gave him sight. I can hear him talking about these stories, hearing about these stories from his friends of Jesus who healed people, who raised them from the dead. I can see this man, prerequisite to this moment, I can see him saying, I can't wait for my day. You maybe never thought of it before, but this man got healed because he allowed the testimonies of others to put a burning in his heart. He allowed the testimonies of others not to make him mad, but for him to say, oh my goodness, I can't wait for the day. And as he heard the noise, he said, something is different. So notice, he said, what's going on? Man, Jesus is here. Oh, Jesus is here. Today is my day. So as you see in verse 38, he says, Jesus of Nazareth. They said, and he said, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. He was smart enough to know the wrong that I've done will not stop Jesus from giving me the blessing that I need. God, have mercy on me. You may not be perfect. You may have not done everything right, but just lift your hands and say, God, have mercy on me, because the sins I've done will not keep me away from shouting out, because I need you. In the testimony, in the things that you did for others, you'll do it for me. And Jesus goes and tells this man, he says, your faith has made you whole. Which made him bold enough to believe in the power of Jesus Christ. They knew they were blind. He knew he was blind. But he became free. Not just because Jesus did his part, but because the church did their part. It's hard when we got to put effort in. If they would have been quiet, he would still be blind. If you stay quiet, they're going to still be lost. There's so many people dependent upon you to live out God. There's so many people dependent on you not to yell it, but whisper Jesus, to show Christ in your life. There's so many people that are waiting to hear what you're so afraid to talk about, what you're so afraid to live out, and they don't know an alternative choice. But that blessing that God has done for you, baby, is not just for you. That testimony is not just for you. That test that you went through, that you learned the decrees of God, and now God has made you a witness. So all I'm saying, baby, is witness. Talk about the goodness of God. Talk about how God has been great for you. Talk about how God has healed you. Talk about how he paid your bill. But don't neglect the before the story. Baby, I was a sinner. I was jacked up. I used to cuss people out. I couldn't control my anger. But Jesus came into my life, and he began to grow his fruits of his spirit within me. He began to change me. And now look at me. And I promise you, they may not call out to Christ that day, but just like this blind man, they may not be able to see Christ yet. But through you talking, they hear it. They may not verbalize it to you, but something is starting. A small seed. Your children may not act like they love God. They may not act like they care, but they're watching you, mama. They may be blind now, but they're watching you. House of Judah, this community may not be all inside this church, but they're watching to see what you're doing. Keep preaching the word. Keep speaking the word. They know they're blind. They know they're lost. But the only way they will come to Christ is through your testimony. If you shut up, they'll stay lost. Their testimonies led to this blind man's testimony. Good gracious. Their testimony led to his testimony, which led in verse 43 to others praising God. As you go through your tests, remember, either you. So as you plant it in the dirt, as you're going through this test, remember it's others that are dependent upon you. As you bury, ask God to grow you. In the darkness, ask God to what may seem like a grave. Ask God to turn it into a garden. This is the month of February. We can all stand to our feet. This is the month of February, and in America, for so long, whether you like it or not, set time aside to celebrate Black history, right? I'm an assistant principal, and I'm a firsthand, I can see that our youth only know what's being taught to them. So I have trivia that I'm doing every morning, and they're guessing, and they're learning 1966, the first home security. A lady up in New York created it. They're learning that Garrett Morgan created the stoplight that we still use today. The gas mask that was adopted in World War II. If I had shared that testimony with them, they wouldn't have been inspired to realize how great they were unless they had parents that taught them. But sometimes our kids never have that environment. And what's so great about Black history? You don't have to be Black to be inspired by it. If you're a human being, Garrett Morgan, that I said, the adventures that he had, nobody believed in them until someone was trapped. Read it when you go home. Until someone was trapped in a coal mine. And they said, who's that guy that has those masks? We didn't think it was going to work, but shoot, we're going to use them today. So they go to him, and he gets the mask, and they rescue those people out of the mine. This is like a real story. Fast forward, World War II, it's adopted, and it helps them versus mustard gas. Why am I saying all that? You can choose to look at that as a testimony. And let it speak to you and inspire you to persevere through your careers. When you send emails, when you go on interviews and you get no's after no's after no's, notice it wasn't a different group of people that went to Garrett Morgan. It was the same people. Are you going to allow the same people that were disrespectful to you? Are you going to allow God to use those same people to bless you? What if that's the plan for you? But your memory is telling you they hurt you. They're of the devil. They can't be used by God. I remember the pain that they did. I cut them off. Am I the only one that's ever been there? Hold on to what God has done for you. The blessing of the testimony that God has done. And watch God prepare a table in the presence of your enemies. The same people that run away disrespected you. He's going to prepare a table in front of those same people. You can't run away from them. Because you're running away from your table that's in front of the same people that disrespected you. But you gotta let the pain go. And just as this man cared more about waiting for Jesus than he put more energy on him being blind, that he didn't let his opportunity go. This morning, the altar is open, and I just wanna pray. I just want to pray for anyone, no matter what it is. You don't have to tell me, I'm not God. But if you want to come down here, have a special prayer together. The altar is open. Whatever you feel led to play, you can play it. Hallelujah. We thank you, God, for your word.